please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, what a great joy it is to be with you this Easter morning here in this beautiful church where we're gathered together in person, together in the one place at the one time. It feels fantastic. It feels particularly fantastic because last year, of course, we had to draw a line through Palm Sunday and Holy Week and Easter, and Kyron, our assistant priest, and myself made our not-so-stunning debuts on YouTube as tele-evangelists as we moved everything from the church to being online. Up until COVID last year, the doors of this church had not closed for 160 years. So it is just so good to see everyone here, the doors wide open, and everyone enjoying Easter together. Today we celebrate with people all around our world the good and great news of the victory of Jesus over death, his bursting forth from the tomb, bringing us millennia later the strong and resolute promise of the resurrection in his name. And in doing so, God destroys that last bastion and source of human fear, that of death, freeing us into knowing that we are in God's hands, both today in this life and in the next. For me, the pandemic and the lockdowns of last year hold considerable resonance with the Easter story of Christ's death and resurrection. To save the world, well, our little corner of it at least, we, for a time last year, and who could forget this, were sealed off from each other in our houses and in our flats. And whilst I don't think anybody quite rolled a stone in front of our front doors, like in front of Jesus' tomb, they may as well have, because God help you if you went out without a mask. God help you if you went to the shops with someone else. And good luck being on the front page of the Herald Sun if you got arrested going more than 5 kilometres from your house to buy donuts. That was one of my particular favourite arrest stories coming out of the pandemic. And we went, for the most part, willingly into that period of seclusion for the benefit of everyone. And thank God we did. Look at us now, here in this church, together, able to celebrate Easter today or on our own or with families and friends. No masks, most importantly, no COVID, and more importantly indeed, no unnecessary suffering and death. Spoke to a good friend of mine in Los Angeles yesterday morning who repeated to me that 1 in 3 people in the county in which he lives in Los Angeles have COVID. 1 in 3, he said, it is a disaster area. We here are, as a community, embracing a return to life like that which most of us have never experienced before, coming out of lockdown into life, perhaps save for those of us who've been unwell and sequestered away at home or in hospital. The whole pandemic narrative for us has echoes of the Easter story, how Christ went willingly to death, into a tomb, for the benefit of everyone, to bring new life from death through self-sacrificial love. That's God's way, and we do well to follow it. From my point of view, there have been 2 sort of major responses to the pandemic here and its ramifications in our community. The first has been a deep sense of gratitude, and the second, a questioning of how we should now live, now that that awful chapter has been closed. On that first matter, one of the things that I've heard the most over these past couple of months, and you might have heard this too, is how grateful people are for the simple blessings that we enjoy. My guess is that we were all out and about this long weekend, And we're even more grateful for being out in beautiful weather, being with family or friends, travelling to the beach or to the country, and even enjoying the football in person. Unless you're a North Melbourne supporter, wherein you have my sincerest condolences. And as we enjoyed these many things, we considered what we once perhaps took for granted before 2020. That old adage rings true: you don't know what you've got until it's gone. The second matter that has come up time and time again after last year is this question of how should we live now? How should last year and our experience affect the way that we live from here on out? For many, work has changed irrevocably. There's less office time, there's more home time, there's no commuting. Or perhaps you, like many, have lost work and lost the opportunity to sustain the life that you had before. But those questions we asked of ourselves in the midst of last year, I think, still ring true. How do we live after all of this is over? We won't live how we used to. We're not going back. We hear this a lot. We're not going back to the way we used to live. So then how should we live? Today, I think the Easter liturgy of the church, the service this morning, the one we're going to celebrate together, provides us a way forward. For centuries after centuries at Easter, people have been baptized, thus dedicating their lives to God, and have also, on this day, reaffirmed the promises that they made or were made on their behalf at their baptism. We're going to do that in a few minutes, and you can see the font here with a silver ewer in it, all ready to go. We don't have any baptisms today, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but please know we have only five next Sunday afternoon, so when everybody comes back from holiday. And the renewal of baptismal promises that you and I are going to do can all be boiled down to this. On behalf of the Church Universal, we are asked three profound questions, to which the answer, like at a good wedding, is a strong I do. Do you turn to Christ? I do. Do you repent of your sins? I do. Do you renounce all that is evil? I do. Those three answers give us three things. Firstly, a destination for our life, that is, Christ in God. Secondly, a humility in the face of our own wrongdoing, a humility in the face of our own sinfulness, and a desire to live better. And thirdly, a renunciation of anything or anyone that is evil. To recap, to know our destination is God, to live as repentant people, and to renounce evil. That seems to me to be a pretty amenable, unholy answer to the question, how shall we live now? Following those three questions and those three answers, we're going to say the Creed, the Nicene Creed, and it's broken up into three parts: for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our predecessors have done this for 1600 years, so we're in good company. And then the final question the Church asks us today as part of our baptismal renewal is this: will you each, by God's grace, strive to live as a disciple of Christ, loving God with your whole heart and your neighbour as yourself until your life's end? And we boldly reply, I will, with God's help. Thus our answer to the question, I think, of how we should now live is clear: to live in the grace of God, for God, in love for neighbour and ourselves until our life's end. How good to be able to live like that for and alongside each other. Now, we renew these baptismal promises not on our own or in an empty barn or out on the church lawn, because out on the church lawn we can't do that now because they're hiding all the eggs for the Easter egg hunt. We do that here in the church, in the presence of God, each other, in a church full of rich symbolism. This new Easter candle, which Karen pointed out before, burns as a sign of the light of Christ in our world, dispelling all darkness, all fear. Take a look at it on the way to the altar this morning. It has a cross on it with the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet at its head and its feet. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, sourced from the book of Revelation. And it signifies to us that Christ is our beginning and our end. And more importantly, God in Christ is at the beginning and end of all things. We can rest in the knowledge that all our life, we rest in the hand of God. And this candle doesn't burn just once. It's why it's really tall, because you've got to get a lot of mileage out of this thing. It burns every Sunday through the six-week season of Easter. It burns bright at anywhere from the 40 to 70 baptisms that we celebrate in this church every year. And it burns bright in some of the saddest moments of people's lives at memorial and funeral services, of which we celebrate here some 50 every year. Why? Because, as I said, it symbolizes that at the start of life, Christ is there. And at the end of life, he too is there with the promise of resurrection in his hand. As you and I go out into the world, the service from this service this morning, I hope that we can be encouraged by our baptismal promises and equipped by prayer and by fellowship to live again as servants of God and of each other. In doing so, let us also be mindful of the continued pain and suffering of our brothers and sisters all around the world, and commit ourselves to holding them in prayer and supporting them in acts of service and generosity where we can. Let us this Easter day promise to be servants of God's new life in all that we do and we say. Happy Easter, everyone. God bless you, and God bless those whom you love on this day and always. Amen.